Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
We live in some radical times. How many believe that you know that these times are radical? And so we're going to look into the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We're going to expound verses 5 through 11. It's another expository teaching. And I know that God is going to do something in our hearts this evening so that we can see, that we can glean, that we can take hold of the times that we live in. You know, many theologians believe that not this Rosh Hashanah, but the following Rosh Hashanah in 2022, the tribulation may kick in. Well, if that's the case, it'll be 7 years of tribulation around the world. And so we need to be praying for the church. We need to be praying that God will raise up those who honored the King, those who would walk in His ways, those who would love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. That's right. God wants to do something radical. And so with that, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 5 through 11. 5 through 11. Now, I've entitled this evening's message. Let's go there right now. I've entitled this evening's message, Every Knee Shall Bow. Every Knee Shall Bow. So are we there? Philippians chapter 2. Let's read verses 5 through 11. And it reads, Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself, look at this, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Through 11, therefore God also has exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Did you catch that, saints of God? Above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Praise God. Praise God. This whole expository teaching, my friends, it's a future event that's going to take place. And I truly believe it's going to take place very soon. We see, as Jesus said, that in the last days, there would be perilous times. I truly believe that in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, God explains that before he returns, it'll be the sign of Lot and of Noah. That's right. Lot was a day, it was a world of wickedness, of sexual immorality. And also in the days of Noah, it was very violent and very wicked. And my friends, we are living in those times right now. Let me just say this. During the times of Lot, Lot came to warn Sodom and Gomorrah that God was going to fire brimstone from heaven to destroy their wickedness. And one of the things, I need you to catch this real quick. I need you to catch this. One of the things that Noah and Lot had in common is that both of those worlds, both of those seasons were very, very wicked. And Lot, when he went to Sodom to warn them, he warned them of their abominations. And so what happened is they turned on him and they said, Who are you? Who are you that you would tell us and judge us? And then what happened is they not only wanted to turn on Lot, but the two angels that came to tell Lot and his family to get out because God's about ready to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And what did the men of that day do? They wanted to have sexual relationships. That's right. These were sodomites, and they wanted to commit sodomy on the angels. And what did the angels have to do? They had to blind them. Now, Jesus ties in that event to our current event. Because if you look at it throughout our country, parades and parades either once or twice a year is the militant homosexuals are wanting their way. And if you try to share the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, they will come at you violently. No different than in the days of Lot. So I'm here to let you know, the only difference that they didn't have back in that day is they didn't have the rainbow flag. Are you catching this? But their fierce countenance is here today. And Jesus said right before he returns, it would be like the days of Lot and Noah. And right now, my friends, when Jesus comes and he takes away the church, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And many of them are going to cry in their shame. But it will be too late, my friends. My goodness, my goodness. So let's do our teaching, expository teaching, verses 5 through 11. Let's go. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that, my friends? You see, many people feel that they can't control their moods or attitudes. But Paul doesn't accept that fact that spirit-filled Christians are slaves to their attitudes. Jesus Christ, he had a particular attitude. So we must too. And one of the great myths of popular psychology that has drifted into the church today deals with impulsive behavior based on emotions. And those who accept, though, Jesus Christ as Savior enter into a community of believers, which is called the church. Believers are to obey their Savior. Can I get an amen in the house? Why? Because of who he is and what he has done on our behalf. Paul eloquently describes this in the following verses. Let's look to the Word of God here, my friends. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6, look what the Apostle John wrote here. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his what? Commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? That's right. That's right. And look what it also says here in Thessalonians. In Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 through 8, it says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. Let me just pause there. There's a way, my friends, that God is looking unto his children. I'm talking about those who are truly his, those who have repented of their sins, those who have been washed in the blood, those who have been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, those who are now heaven bound and held to shun. He's talking about them. He's not talking about the wannabe Christians. He's not talking about the name tag Christians. He's not talking about those who joined the church or signed a card or took a right hand of fellowship. He's talking about the ones that he has called unto himself, those who have truly been transformed by the power of God, who is now walking in the grace, who is now walking in his precepts, who is now wanting to please the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are wanting to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets them, and they want to press toward the prize of the call in Christ Jesus. God is looking for that person. God is looking for His children to rise up in faith and to bind and rebuke what's happening in the day that we live in. The Bible says we live in darkness, gross darkness, and there's wickedness everywhere. But I'm here to let you know that we that have the light of God, that we that have the brightness of God, we will become brighter in these last days. We will stand firm. We will be steadfast. We will be immovable. We'll be the ones, hallelujah, with the blood-stained banner saying, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We have to have that voice. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. We need to be steadfast in our walk with Christ. We need to have the convictions of God. We need to have the grace and mercy of God. Yes, we are to love those who do not know Him. And all we're doing is telling them to repent. We're not judging them. We're telling them that there's a better way and that Jesus wants to save them. But let them do what they're going to do, because we have no power over that other than to be a light, to be a witness, to be a spokesman for the Lord Jesus Christ. God will deal with them in their time and His way. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. So let's go back right now to this word. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received us, how you ought to walk and please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Look at this. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of the lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Look at this. That no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. Verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Can I get an amen in the house? Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also what? Given us His Spirit. Did you catch that, my friends? He has given us His Spirit. And so we, you and I, the born-again church, we have no excuse. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is living inside you, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If God is truly living inside you, He has illuminated you. He has changed you. He has transformed you. You are now a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And now we have a new walk. We have a new talk. We can walk forward now, hallelujah, knowing that God is with us. And no matter where we go, we will be a witness to this dying world. And we will have one message, and that message is to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody got to give Him praise and glory. Why? Because He's doing something marvelous in your life. He's doing something wonderful in your life, and you need to know and know without a shadow of doubt that when Jesus returns, He's coming for you and I. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let's go now to verse 6. Hallelujah. In Philippians chapter 2, and it says, who being in the form of God did not consider it what? Robbery to be equal with God. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, this verse, my friends, describes the status of Christ as He existed before the creation of the world. And that is His what? Pre-incarnate state. Jesus Christ was and is God. Hallelujah. Everything God is, Christ is. The equality is essential, saints of God, and characteristics and divine attributes. Praise God. But Jesus did not demand and cling to His rights as God, but set them aside in order to become human like you and I. Jesus was tested, and he went through every trial that we could imagine. He went through slandering. He went through beatings. He went through false accusations, just no different than we. But he's the one that went to the cross and was nailed for you and I. He shed his blood. You see, God became a man, and Jesus was not part man and part God. He was completely human and completely divine. Christ is the perfect expression of God in human form. Praise God. Praise God. Look what the Old Testament scriptures read in Isaiah. Look at this. In Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is what? Born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called what? Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God." There it is. "Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace." Praise God. You see, saints of God, as a man, Jesus was subject to place, time, and other human limitations. What made Jesus's humanity unique was his freedom from sin. Praise God. He did not give up his eternal power when he became a human, but he did set aside his glory and his rights. And in his full humanity, we can see everything about God's character that can be conveyed in human terms, my friends. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus, the sinless Savior, came? The Bible says, "He who knew no sin became sin, that we may become the righteousness of Christ by faith." I am so thankful, so blessed that Jesus came for you. He came for me. He came in our stead. He went to a wicked cross to die for us, and he shed his precious blood. And this is why now we have that royal blood. The Bible says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And so what's flowing through our veins now is the blood of Jesus, because he is royal. He is majestic. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Bishop and Lover of our soul. He is the Bright and Morning Star. He is the one that will return, and he will return for his church. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we serve a mighty God. I'm excited about this message. Why? Because God is soon to return for you and I. And I can't wait. I hope you can't wait. Or are you tied up in this world? Oh man, I still have so much to do. Forget about that. Keep your eyes looking ahead above. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's go now to verse 7 in Philippians chapter 2. "But made himself of no reputation." Look at this. "Taking the form of a bondservant and coming..." Look at this. "Coming in the likeness of men." Praise God. He became like you and I. Praise God. And so, saints, Christ voluntarily gave of himself what? Making himself nothing. The incarnation was the act of the pre-existent Son of God voluntarily assuming a human body and human nature. He did not give up his deity to become human. Praise God. Yet upon his birth as a human being, he took the humble position of a slave. And what appeared on earth was not a prince in a palace or a royal king or a wealthy and scholarly teacher. Instead, Jesus' entire life was devoted to serving others. Hallelujah. Jesus' glory and divinity were veiled by his humanity and mortality. He humbled himself. He served the poor. He witnessed to the outcast. He even told drunks and prostitutes about the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's the mind of God. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. And we need to have the same heart for those who are lost. And all we don't judge them. The Bible says, "Judge not lest you be judged." But you tell them that there's another way, that lifestyle that you're living in will bring damnation. And it's found in the Word of God. It's not what you say what will happen. It's what God says what will happen. Can I get an amen? So you have to get that clear and let them know that there's a better way. There's a better way. Look what Isaiah wrote right here. He wrote this, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a root out of a dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This was a picture of Jesus on the cross that went to the cross for you and I. Praise God. Let's look what Mark says right here. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for what? For many. For many. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down what? His life for us. And we also ought to what? Lay down our lives for the brethren, for one another. Praise God. Did you catch that, saints of God? Did you catch that? You and I are to die to self. There are some people that have wronged you in life. There are some people that have slandered you. There are some people that have lied about you. But God is saying, humble yourself at the foot of the cross, and he will lift us up. And all you have to do is say, oh God, I hold nothing against them. Oh God, you have cleansed me. You have washed me. You have forgiven me. I have forgiven them. Oh God, and Lord, allow my life to be like a tender plant, just like we just read in Isaiah, that we would be pliable by the Holy Spirit, that we would walk in the ways of Christ, that we would love like Jesus. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Let's go back to Philippians. Let's go back to the Word of God. In verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the what? Death of the cross. Oh my gosh. He came to the death of the cross for you and I, saints of God. You see, when Jesus took on a human form, he then humbled himself to accomplish that task for which he had come to do. And what was that? To die for sinful humanity in order that they might have eternal life. He died a brutal death, saints of God. Listen, my friends, let me just say this. Josephus, an historian, a Jewish writer who was there during the time of the apostles and the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was an eyewitness to the account. I know he's not mentioned in scripture, but he's mentioned in historical writings and books that he wrote. And he said that when he saw Jesus for himself, he couldn't tell when he was hanging on the cross whether he was male or female anymore. You see, movies and portraits of Jesus, which is not really him, they always have a little terry cloth on him. But according to the writers, that when Jesus was on that cross, he was naked to the world. He had no clothing. And he was beaten. His skin was ripped apart. He was beaten so bad that when Josephus said you would look upon him, you couldn't tell whether he was male or female anymore. Everything was ripped from him. My goodness. He died a brutal death, saints of God, for you and me. And many of us don't deserve this great salvation. Yet, God had you and I in mind before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that God slew the Lamb of God before he formed and spoke this world into existence. This is God's greatest love. This is a love that you and I cannot comprehend. This is a love that he has for his children. This is a love that goes beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, beyond our humanistic knowledge. It's a supernatural love that you and I, we will get to know when we meet him face to face. He will then let us know, hallelujah, this great love that he had for you and I. Can I get it? Amen in the house. Praise God. Now, let's look at this scripture verse right here in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the what? The righteousness of God in him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, I have a question. But why did Jesus have to become human and have to die? You ever asked that question? You ever thought of that? You see, my friends, a holy God cannot overlook sin. The sinfulness of humanity had to be punished. In the Old Testament, God required his people to sacrifice animals, perfect animals, healthy and whole, to atone for their sins. And so we have to ask this question, why the blood? Why the blood? Why did Jesus have to shed his blood? My friends, I'm here to let you know that there is no greater symbol of life than blood. Blood keeps us alive. Instead of sending all humanity to eternal punishment, God took the punishment himself. Jesus shed his blood. He gave his life for our sins so that we, you and I, wouldn't have to experience spiritual death and eternal separation from God. Praise God, praise God. How many are so blessed to know that he did it for you? He did it for me. Hallelujah. And now we can graciously and with confidence knowing that Jesus is coming for you and I. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many can't wait for that moment? How many can't wait for that day? We will exit from these bodies, this shell that we're living in right now, this body of flesh that eventually will go back to the dust. But God said he's going to change us in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. Let's look at what it says in Romans. In Romans 8:3, for what the law cannot do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Did you catch that, my friends? Huh? Did you catch that? You see, my friends, the costly sacrifice of an animal's life, it impressed upon the sinner the seriousness of his or her sin before God. And when animal's blood was shed, God regarded the people's faith and obedience and cleansed them and made them ceremoniously clean, but just for a moment. It was just for a moment. It was temporary. This is why God, in his foreknowledge, this is why through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God will send the deliverer. God will send the Savior. God will send the one that would finally say on the cross that it is finished, and that you and I can be redeemed from this life of sin, from this life, from this corrupt world that is dying, that God is going to create a new place, a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to live with him in total bliss. We're not going to have a sinful mind no more. We're not going to have a body that's deteriorating. We're going to have a life that will live with him forever. How many of you can't wait for that moment? Somebody needs to give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. For it's about to happen soon, and very soon the king will return. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go to the next verse in verse 9. Verse 9 in Philippians chapter 2. It says, therefore God has exalted him and given him the name which is above what? Every name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, we are saved by his name. None of us have met Jesus yet face to face, but because we believe in the name, and then the only name, there is no other name, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, saints, because Christ willfully set aside his glory to totally obey the Father's will, God raised him up to the heights of heaven. God did not leave Christ in the grave, praise God, but raised him from the dead, brought him back up to heaven, and glorified him. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's look at this verse scripture right here. Look at this. In Acts 2:33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, my friends, when Jesus went away, he went to sit at the right hand of God. But here's the great exchange. As he went away, He sent the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. That is the down payment. That is the deposit. That is the assurance. That is knowing that Christ, the hope of glory, lives in you and I. Praise God. And it has been deposited by faith through His grace. And now we have the assurance because we know we've been changed. We feel His presence. We know the power of God. And because we are sealed until the day of redemption, we will be with Him forevermore. Can I get an amen? Somebody got to give Him a shout of praise and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now, let's look at this verse of Scripture found in Ephesians 1, 20 through 23. Look at this. For which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, that every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's you and I. Look at that. In verse 22 and 23. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things. Look, to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Praise God. Praise God. Now, look what it says in the book of Hebrews. Who, being in the brightness of His glory and the image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. Say that with me at home. He purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Huh? Aren't you so blessed? Jesus did all that for you and I. It was His grace, His mercy, His love toward you and I that He shed His precious blood. And now the name that is above all names is the only name that can save a man or a woman or a child here on earth. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And so, saints of God, God gave Jesus all authority, and made Him the Lord of both the dead and the living. Oh, that's right. Look what it says in the book of John right here. John 5:27, and has given Him what? Authority to execute judgment also, because He is what? The Son of Man. Look at this. It says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Praise God. Praise God. Look what it says in the book of Romans. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that He might be what? Lord of both the dead and the living. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints of God, that Jesus' name is above every other name refers not to Jesus' title, but instead, my friends, that God would do the miraculous. I need you to see this for this end right here. Look at this. Praise God. Praise God. God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. Praise God. And so He gave Jesus the name. Instead, the name that signifies this person. And so in the Bible, names often reveal a person's character, Jesus' dignity and honor above all others. And because Jesus did not cling to His equality, saints of God, with God, but willingly obeyed God in order to carry out the plan of salvation. God honored that obedience by giving Jesus this name that's above all names. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, we're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close. Let's look at now Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. That the name of Jesus, every knee should what? Bow. Of those in heaven, and of those on the earth, and of those what? Underneath the earth. Praise God. Saints, in keeping with Jesus' exaltation and power, one day every knee will bow before Him. In heaven refers to the angels, on earth means all humanity. Under the earth refers to the underworld, possibly to the unsaved people who have died or to even demons. Hallelujah. And those who love Jesus will bow in adoration. Hallelujah. And worship those who refuse to acknowledge Him and will bow in submission and in fear. My goodness, where is you right now? Where are you right now, my friends that are watching? Are you ready, hallelujah, to see Jesus face to face? Or will you be ashamed of yourself? God has given you an opportunity to get right or get left. And this is not a political slogan. Getting right, hallelujah, means that God will see that you got right with Him and He will take you with Him. Being left, hallelujah, that means not getting right with God and you'll be left behind. My goodness. Let's look at what God's Word says right here in Ephesians. Look at this for a moment. Now this, He ascended. And what does it mean? That He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might what? Fill all things. Praise God. Look what it says in the book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and such are that are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Look at this. Forever and ever. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, my friends, this will take place at Jesus' second coming. Praise God. And when the forces of evil will be completely defeated and God will form a new heaven and a new earth. Praise God. It says right here in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 20 through 21. Look at this. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Jesus' word will come right out of his mouth, and a sword will come out, and it will demolish the evildoers of this day. Wow, my friends, this is right there in the Word of God. Praise God, praise God. Look at this in Revelations 21 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven. Look at this. Having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon. That's old Slewfoot. That serpent of old who was the devil and Satan. And bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit. And he shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Uh-oh. Yep. Old Slewfoot won't quit. But Paul purposely quoted, my friends, he purposely quoted here in Isaiah and Romans and applied these powerful words to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at this in Isaiah 45:23. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow and every what? Tongue shall take an oath. Wow. Wow. Well, see, it also says that in the book of Romans. Let's go there in Romans 4:10-11. For it is written, say that with me at home. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Praise God. Praise God. See, my friends, Isaiah proclaiming the unique greatness of God has said that the same God who would not share his glory with another would receive the homage of every living being. And then Paul, he indicated and equated that position of God with Jesus Christ, the preeminent lordship. Praise God. Look what it says here in the book of John. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I want you to catch that for a moment. You know what that truly means? There's people around the world. There's people in our nation. There's people in even some churches that said, I don't need to go through Jesus. I just believe in God. You ever ask people, oh, I believe in the man upstairs. Oh, I believe in God. No, you have to believe in the Son, because only through Jesus Christ you will be granted salvation. Wow. I know that's a hard pill to swallow for some of you, but the Word is the Word. I'm just a mailman delivering the Word. Can I get an amen? And so again, saints, true deity and oneness with the Father are revealed there in those scriptures. And now we close with our final scripture of the day. Look at this. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus, look at this, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Saints, every tongue will confess the basic truth of Christianity. Jesus Christ is Lord. Say that with me. Jesus Christ is Lord. Say that one more time. Jesus Christ is Lord. And this does not mean that eventually everyone will be saved. Oh, no. Every tongue in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will recognize Jesus as Lord, either because of belief or because of mere acknowledgement of the undisputable fact. The tongue will be silent. No knee will remain unbowed. Praise God. Praise God. All of creation will recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, I'm here to let you know that this is a time to get right. This is a time that we would press toward the prize and the call of Christ Jesus. This is the time, my friends, to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and that we would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. What is God saying to us tonight? God is saying that take heed that I am coming back soon. I'm coming back for my bride. I'm coming back for my church. I'm coming back for the believer that has repented of their sins, that is washed in the blood of the Lamb, that is filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, that is heaven bound and a hell to shun. He's coming back for us, for you and I, saints of God. And soon, and very soon, we will meet the King. That's right. He's going to come just like He promised. He's going to come and take His bride home. That's right. And the shofar is going to blast. The angels will come and blow the shofar. And the dead in Christ will rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. Paul wrote this to the Thessalonian church. And I got proof right here in the scripture. And let's look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrows others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven, and with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will what? Rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow. My friends, something radical is about to happen. That's right. Some of you are probably turning off. Oh, I saw this already. Well, God is just saying, I'm coming soon. You should have great joy in knowing that I'm coming for you. I'm coming to deliver you from this body of flesh. You see, because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's right. We need to be changed and we need to be like Him. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. He wrote it best and said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. What? We shall not all sleep, but we shall what? All be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Wow, my friends. Listen, if you're ready, there's nothing to worry about but to keep serving Him, praising Him, worshiping Him. That's right. Getting along with one another. But if you're not ready to meet the King, if you never repented of your sins, if you never been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, washed in the blood of the Lamb, don't let this happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
My friends, God said it best. You're either for me or against me. You are either for the things of God, born again, or you're an enemy to the cross. An undecided person is still an enemy to the cross. A person that's living in sin is an enemy to the cross. A person that still is involved in alternative lifestyle is an enemy to the cross. And all those that I just mentioned are still serving Satan. And unless you repent of your sins and turn with your whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says then you can be saved. You see, there's a lot of people that have broken covenant with God. They started out, I praise you, God, I worship you, they serve God, and then they go away in an apostate state. Meaning, Jesus said in the last days that there would be a falling away, apostasy. But let me just say this. If you've never given your heart to God, all you have to do is repent. The Word of God says it best right here, found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. Then Peter said to them, repent! And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children. And to, look at this, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Wow, my friends. So that's what it's all about. It's about giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about surrendering your life. Listen, this life was fine. It was great. It was awesome. We got to be married for some of us, have children, grandchildren. But notice some of our parents and grandparents are already gone. And soon and very soon, our time will be up here on earth. My question is, have you prepared? Have you prepared to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the only name that can save you? And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're never giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask right now by faith. I'm going to ask that you would bow your head and your heart with me. And that you would ask Jesus to save you this day. Pray with me. Bow your heart and your head and pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Come into my heart. And make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Man, somebody just got saved. Now listen, down below, there is our website. Log in. Listen, reach out to us. Our email, our phone number is there. We'd like to get you a Bible, and we'd like to point you to the right direction. If you're living locally, we'd love to have you come and visit us in beautiful Bonita, California. We're at 5305 Sweetwater Road in Bonita, California. And we would love to have you come and visit us Sunday mornings at 10:30. That's right. Yes. Also down below, through our website, you can send us blessings and continue to support our ministry. Donations are deeply appreciated. And so it's time for me to sign off. I hope you were blessed with this Bible study this evening. And I'm looking forward to seeing you all this Sunday morning at 10:30. We're also having two child dedications that morning. So we're going to have a power pack and just awesome service. And pray for the message that God will give me, that message that the saints of God need for that moment. And don't forget that on June 20th, Sunday morning at 10:30, in a couple weeks, Evangelist Donald Perkins will be with us. And so, my friends, I'm going to sign off. And before I sign off, allow me to send you our benediction, our blessing. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, praise God. So my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we love you all. Can't wait to see you all. Tell a friend, bring a friend this Sunday morning at 10:30. We love you, God bless you, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.